John and Martha King are detained at gunpoint. The screw-up that led to the incident has happened before. And what airplane thief is going to file a flight plan? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 31st, 2010. John and Martha King arrived at Santa Barbara Airport in California Saturday morning on an IFR flight from San Diego's Montgomery Field in a 2009 Cessna 172 leased from Cessna. They say they were met by the Santa Barbara police, who reported getting a tip that a stolen Cessna 150 with the N number of the King's plane was inbound. The Kings say they were greeted by officers taking cover behind four police cars with guns drawn and were detained for about 30 minutes in handcuffs. It turns out that November 50545, the tail number on the 172, was previously issued to a Cessna 150 that was reported stolen in Texas way back in 2002. That registration on the stolen 150 was canceled in 2005, 5 years ago next week. The N number went on the new 172 in January of last year. John King told us, quote, "Later, the Santa Barbara police told us that a private company had called them and reported that N50545 had been stolen and was on its way to Santa Barbara Airport. The private company was the El Paso Intel Center. This private company is shown on the web as a program of the DEA," unquote. But wait, it gets much more interesting. This has happened before to another pilot in the same plane, and he was also detained. John King told ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell what he discovered.
This aircraft, this very same aircraft, had been through this already before.
Yes, when the airplane was first delivered, it's the first 2009 airplane, and Cessna took ownership of it. And Cessna, their first 2009 172S. And when they flew it for the first time from Independence, Kansas, to Wichita, Kansas, the cops met this guy, the pilot who was flying it, and did exactly the same thing, handcuffs in the back seat of the car and so on. And they determined that this indeed was not a stolen airplane at that point a year and a half ago, and no one took it off the database.
There are a number of troubling issues with this story. If all is as John says, EPIC, the El Paso Intel Center, which now serves more than a dozen federal agencies and has been given duties involved with Homeland Security, is at least 5 years behind in updating its database to match current, publicly available FAA records. Either EPIC or the Santa Barbara Police, or both, were not truthful in calling the center a private company. The Santa Barbara Police made the equivalent of a felony traffic stop and brought potentially lethal force to bear on innocent private citizens without verifying the status of the N number, which any 9-year-old with Google could do in seconds. And common sense is totally absent here. Anyone who's ever filled out a flight plan knows how much personal information is there. Did it occur to the Santa Barbara PD that the reason EPIC was able to provide the arrival location and even the time in advance was because the pilot provided it? Is this the profile of a plane thief, even a stupid one? Security theater got its name because the purpose is to pacify the public by looking busy. The theatrics have now become more dangerous to innocent citizens than any terrorist. We laughed at Barney Fife and his misadventures with firearms, but in the real world, mistakes happen. Jim Campbell's interview with John King will be presented in two parts, today and tomorrow, in the Aero News special feature. And if you find yourself in this situation, which we're learning a number of pilots have, follow directions, move slowly, and whatever you do, don't reach for your cell phone if it rings. Up next on ANN, Skycatcher buyers are told to wait a while longer. High schoolers will write software for the ISS. And NASA gets Hollywood help on its revised mission. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 31st. I'm Paul Plack. when Cessna officially put the 162 Skycatcher on sale at Oshkosh back in 2007, there was little doubt it would log immediate sales, especially given the contractual minimum orders for Cessna pilot centers. The company installed an LED counter at the Cessna tent, which displayed the number of orders taken. By the end of that week, the counter was in the mid-400s, and it looked as though the 162 was poised to become the top-volume LSA. Orders since have pushed that total past 1,000. But if you determine who's on top based on deliveries, it looks like Flight Design won't have to worry about its number one ranking for quite a while, maybe for years. Cessna sales VP Roger White has sent a letter to position holders announcing further delays. He says there are only 8 delivered so far. The rest of the first 180 planes will be delivered over the next 16 months, and serial numbers 181 or higher won't be scheduled for delivery until at least 2012. At the request of some Skycatcher position holders, ANN is seeking more information on the reasons for the newest delay. NASA has issued another design challenge to high school teams, this time to design software to program small satellites aboard the International Space Station. It wouldn't be NASA without an acronym, and this one is SPHERES, for Synchronized Position, Hold, Engage, Reorient Experimental Satellites. SPHERES are bowling ball-sized satellites used to test maneuvers for spacecraft performing autonomous rendezvous and docking. 3 of these satellites fly inside the station's cabin. Each is self-contained with power, propulsion, computing, and navigation equipment. Run by MIT, the 2010 Zero Robotics Challenge will involve high schools from across the country during the 2010-2011 academic year. The first 100 high school teams to register by September 10th will be accepted, with full proposals due by September 14th. 20 teams will then be selected to compete using simulations and ground-based testing at MIT. The software of the top 10 winners will be sent to the station, and an astronaut will program the SPHERES satellites to run the students' tests. Find an FMI link for more info and entry details at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated August 30th, at aero-news.net. Part of the Obama administration's announced new mission for NASA is increased study of climate change. NASA now has partnered with movie director James Cameron to produce public service announcements based on the movie Avatar for NASA's website and for local TV stations nationwide. 3 two-minute videos were made available starting last week. In one, called Part of the Global Network, Cameron draws parallels between his fictional world, Pandora, on which all native creatures are neurologically linked, and the relationship between mankind and the Earth in real life. Another, called A Planet in Peril, hints at similarities between the movie's plot involving destruction of a planet to pillage natural resources and the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It's rare these days for local TV stations to offer two-minute blocks for any free message, but you can see the series online at nasa.gov. Still ahead, there's no contract for the F-136, but you'd never know it. The EAA Air Venture Museum is reaccredited, and Whitman Regional prepares to welcome giant RC models. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 31st. I'm Paul Plack. Pratt & Whitney won the contract to build the engine that will power the F-35 Lightning II. The alternative engine proposed by GE and Rolls-Royce is far from a done deal, and the Pentagon doesn't even want it. But GE, and now the state of Alabama, are proceeding as if it's a sure thing. GE has committed to the state to build what it calls an Environmental Coatings Center of Excellence, a facility which would apply coatings to parts of the proposed F-136 engine. The exact location has not been chosen. Governor Bob Riley, GE Aviation President and CEO David Joyce, and Alabama Development Office officials made the announcement last week during a ceremony in the state capitol. Joyce commented, quote, "The F-136 engine is a very long-term program, with production anticipated for decades. We are thrilled to make Alabama part of our advanced technology network and to commit to high-technology jobs for the state," unquote. GE Aviation says the new Alabama facility will cover about 200,000 square feet, is expected to open in the 2011-2012 timeframe, and will employ 300 to 400 people. GE also says it will host a supplier symposium late next month to assist small companies in Alabama who desire to do business with GE. The EAA Air Venture Museum in Oshkosh has again earned accreditation from the American Association of Museums, this time for 15 years instead of 10, as in the past two renewals. The AAM accreditation process includes substantial documentation of a museum's current programs and operations, as well as a site visit by a national panel of museum professionals. Among characteristics reviewed by AAM are governance, collection stewardship, institutional planning, code of ethics, mission, and risk management. Among the publicly visible upgrades made by the AirVenture Museum over the past decade was the effort to make exhibits more interactive and family-friendly. In addition, exciting new exhibits have been introduced in recent years, including such one-of-a-kind displays as Spaceship One, the world's first successful civilian spaceship. And finally, if you'd like to take your kids to the EAA AirVenture Museum free, plan to go on Saturday, September 11th. There's an event happening at Whitman Regional Airport called Big Birds Over EAA, and it features giant-scale radio-controlled model aircraft, big enough to be mistaken for the real thing from a distance. The models range up to 15 feet in length and represent warbirds, aerobatic, jets, vintage, and sport aviation. Alan Westby, EAA AirVenture Museum Director, says, quote, "Some of the best radio-controlled pilots in the Midwest will be on hand to demonstrate a variety of models ranging from highly detailed warbirds to Piper Cubs. Visitors have the opportunity to get an up-close view and will be amazed at the intricate detail these models go into, reflecting the full-sized aircraft they emulate," unquote. The free event will be held from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. between the main gate and Aeroshell Square on the EAA AirVenture grounds. Additionally, admission to the EAA AirVenture Museum will be free all day. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the first of two parts, John King talks about being greeted by armed police upon landing at Santa Barbara Saturday. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.